We are coming off a wild weekend of professional wrestling, and the Honorable One and myself, the Wizard CZ, we were burning the candle at both ends, just like everybody else was. Three great shows to talk to you about, two on the national stage, one of them local, from our good friends at SCW Pro. We're here to talk about Deadline, Final Battle, and Season's Beatings, and I'm going to toss things over. We're going to get things started right away. Nick, how are you, my friend?
Well, how am I? I'm a road weary, tired person. I'm a weekend warrior here. I mean, I'm just coming off a wild weekend. I felt like I wrestled at three shows. Instead, I was a fan of three of them. Got to witness one live. We'll get to the live show here later on, the FCW Pro. But there were two pay per views / premium live events yesterday, and we're going to kick off things with Final Battle in Arlington, Texas. A weird start time of 3 o'clock central here. I'm going to go with, instead of the Eastern, I'm going to go with the 3 o'clock that started here with a 0 hour that started at 2. I'll go ahead and run down the 0 hour matches real quick. There were four of them. And I'll tell you what, the ROH 0 hours run a lot smoother than the AEW 0 hours, in my opinion, CZ. They got four matches in pretty quick and promoted the show very well. So hats off to them on their 0 hour. Jeff Cobb defeated Mascara Dorado. Dorado was making his Ring of Honor debut. Jeff Cobb, of course, is part of United Empire in New Japan Pro Wrestling. Second match featured Jericho, Appreciation Society member Cool Hand Ange, and Daddy Magic. They took on the Shinobi Shadow Squad of Cheeseburger and Eli Yasomi.
Cheeseburger.
Yep. That's Cheeseburger.
That's a legit wrestling name. Cheeseburger.
Yeah, the Shinobi Shadow Squad. Go check it out. It was my first experience with them. I had vaguely heard of Cheeseburger, but it wasn't bad. I think the 0 hour should be up on YouTube if you want to go out there and listen. Go out there and find it. Hey, we're on YouTube as well. We're also on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Card Subject to Change Podcast. Like, follow, and subscribe. Leave a rating. Also, please ask questions. Not that we can answer them, but we will try to find the answer. And also, it adds for great show fodder to see how unsmart the Wizard and I both are. So,
exactly. On that, I also have to mention that we are part of the For Frequency Sake podcast network. So, shout out to For Frequency Sake, our podcast higher ups, and thank you very much for getting us on the air.
For Frequency Sake, for life. For life.
Hey, y'all.
We got a survey. The rest of the Ring of Honor 0 hour pre-show is wrapped up with Willow Nightingale getting a win against Trish Adora. And then the show closed with Top Flight, the team of Dante and Darius Martin, the brothers, against The Kingdom, which is Matt Taven, former Ring of Honor champion, Mike Bennett, and then Maria Kanellis. So this was a pretty good tag match, and I hope these guys start a program. Good chemistry in the ring, contrasting styles. Of course, always styles make fights, but Top Flight and The Kingdom was a fun match to close out the pre-show. They ran right up until, I think they had about 3 minutes of downtime between the pre-show and to the show, and they kick off the show. This is the 21st Final Battle, CZ. The largest gate, largest crowd in Ring of Honor history. We are welcomed by one of my favorite wrestling broadcasting tandems. That's Ian Riccoboni and Caprice Coleman. Caprice Coleman's a former tag team partner of Cedric Alexander before he got injured. So there are 8 matches on this card. All 6 titles are up for grabs. Are you ready for Final Battle, CZ? Or were you ready for Final Battle?
I definitely am. I think all around, ROH always puts on a good product. Tony Khan did no different, in my opinion, putting on a good product for ROH, although it does have a different feel with him at the reins. I want to talk a little – excuse me. I apologize. I would have muted if I hadn't been – if that hadn't come on suddenly. But I want to talk a little bit before we get really heavy into the show. I love the way they have their entrance set up. I think it's very unique and very different and gives them their own style.
And it keeps it very similar to what Ring of Honor always was. It was very intimate amongst the fans coming in like that. So, yes, it's Big Show meets the grind of the indie feel. Yes, I do like the presentation. Nothing over the top. I think Jericho was the only one with pyro. He's the world champ. Of course, he's Chris Jericho. He's a sports entertainer. But video screens were fine. I really like the presentation and the setup as well. Good way to bring that up.
The other thing I have written down in my notes that I want to bring up real quick before we get into the matches, what do you think of the turnbuckle pads compared to WWE? AEW, ROH, they have the longer turnbuckle pads versus the short ones that just cover the buckle.
I don't know. It kind of reminds me, it's kind of like a link to the old school, right? It's kind of how it always used to be. So it doesn't bother me one bit. No, that doesn't bother me one bit at all. You know, I've kind of grown accustomed to WWE having their way for so long. So
yeah,
you know, they're going to have it their way. And then when you see somebody else have it, it's like, oh, okay. You know, it really doesn't make an influence on me at all.
And again, I think it gives it that unique identity that the other promotions need.
Oh, for sure. You know, Ring of Honor is always, you know, tried to stick around the code of honor with, you know, the handshake. They have the pure wrestling division, which we'll talk about later here once we get to the match review and the results of that. So they've always kind of been, they've always wanted to present themselves as a legitimate wrestling operation, you know. And in doing that, I think they're trying to pay finite attention to those kind of details.
Absolutely. I can completely agree with that.
Well, we're going to kick off the show. It's a pretty good mover and shaker, if you will. The show kicks off with the team of a debuting Dralistico and Roosh with Jose the assistant. What a gimmick. Jose the assistant. Look how much, I wonder how much baggage just got out of that. And then a now maskless Preston Vance, formerly of the Dark Order, now working with Roosh. They're taking on the newly signed A.R. Fox and Blake Christian. We've seen Blake Christian before on Impact. We've seen him on AEW Dark and Dark Elevation. And we've also seen him in GCW, a great young talent. He can mat wrestle and high fly as well. Fun opening match, I thought. I really thought good length for the opening match, CZ. I was entertained by it. I didn't have a dog in either fight. And I thought you got to start a feud. But if you're going to start a feud, you know, you got to get it going the right direction. And I think a debuting AR Fox, who got the win in this match for his team. If they could steer something with him working with Roosh, working with these older guys to get some experience, he reminds me of like a younger Ron Killings, really, with his in-ring style and the fact that he can high fly. He can high fly better than Ron Killings, and he's probably a little bit taller than R-Truth. R-Truth a little more jacked, but very similar. Keep an eye on him. I like him. I think it's a good signing by Tony Khan. And if AR Fox does, you know, if he's among the people that Tony Khan talked about, you know, Ring of Honor signing these extra wrestlers, if he's signed by Tony Khan, but I think he's been all mentioned as all, he'd be great to be on this roster. But anyways, it was a good opening match.
What did you think?
AR Fox and Blake. Yeah, you mean the botch?
Sorry, I didn't mean to throw you for a loop there, but.
No, I was kind of, I'm sitting there for a second. I'm like, you got to mean the botch because.
Absolutely.
It was a botch. I'm guessing that was when the match was supposed to end. But I will give Ring of Honor credit. They stuck with it. Okay. Right.
Yeah.
Wrong or indifferent. Okay. It's what I told my oldest kid when he umpires in the summer for money. I said, whether you're right or wrong, you stick with your decision and you don't back down. Okay. So I think that's what they did. Roosh was visibly pissed off. Did you not see that? Visibly pissed off. Absolutely. Because I don't think the match was supposed to end right there. I think the result was supposed to be the way it was, but it wasn't supposed to end like that. It caught Roosh off guard. But the referee stuck to his guns. I'm not going to harp on the referee here, but I know that I'm not going to harp on him. They stuck with their decision, and I liked it.
I agree.
All right, but we're going to flip through the next few matches here because we got to need to go in depth about probably a match of the year contender. In match number two of the night, it's our first title defense of six, and it's the AEW Women's World Championship. Mercedes Martinez is your champion, and she is taking on the challenger, Athena. Athena, formerly Ember Moon of WWF, for those that don't know, she's been on the AEW roster, really hasn't had a place, has kind of garnished a reputation. Garnished a reputation on the main roster. This is Athena, where she's kind of been hard to work with. So what better place than to go to Ring of Honor? And in her hometown, the Dallas, Texas challenge for the women's title. And I'll tell you what, this was a good women's match. Tough match for the champion face working in the hometown heels crowd. You know, the heels hometown with that crowd. Yeah. But this match was better than I thought it was going to be. And we have a new Ring of Honor Women's World Champion. And no!
You'll be saying that a lot today, Nick.
I know. That's why I got my warm coffee here, a couple bottles of water. So I'm on an and new count, and we're getting into it there. But Mercedes Martinez drops the W to Athena. Decent match. I wish Tony would take a hint from his Ring of Honor pay-per-views, because this show kept moving, did it not, CZ? We're moving in between matches. We're showing the backstory of what's coming up next, how it got to this. And the backstory of the next match, I'm not going to sit here and say I'm an expert on this next past storyline. I wasn't watching Ring of Honor at that time. But the next match is Swerve and Our Glory, Swerve Strickland and Keith Lee, who've been on the rocks lately, not a martini, but they've been on the rocks lately, and they're taking on Shane Taylor Promotions, the team of Shane Taylor and J.D. Griffey. What this video did show me, though, and I appreciate this from Ring of Honor, they're bringing the new viewers in and the people that may have missed it out. You know, Shane Taylor and Keith Lee were partners. They were buddies. They were tag team partners. They went around kicking butt together, and then they had a disagreement, and it's not been the same since. So that's the feud coming into this. And
it's very similar on the other side right now with what's going on.
Yes, very similar. So not only Our Glory on the rocks, Keith Lee and Shane Taylor are also on the rocks.
And in my notes, one of the few things I didn't take a lot of notes on this match, but the first thing I said is how are Keith Lee and Swerve still a tag team after how things ended at Full Gear?
I don't know. Maybe I missed something on Rampage. Because I'll self-admit, I did not watch Rampage this past weekend, knowing how much wrestling I was going to partake in yesterday. Saturday. So something must have happened, and I feel bad. If you know out there what happened, how we got to this point, where Swerve and Our Glory are still together and they haven't split yet, but maybe they will after what happened in this match. Let us know on social media, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. We're at Card Subject to Change Podcast. Please let us know what you thought about this match amongst the others that we're reviewing. The ending of the match showed Shane Strickland Swerve walking out on Keith Lee and leaving Keith Lee to fend on his own. Last time we saw that was at Full Battle, was it not?
Yeah.
Or Full Gear.
But it was the opposite. It was Keith Lee leaving Swerve to defend for himself.
So at first I didn't give a crap about these guys, and now I do. I want to see where it's going to go. So credit to them. Just when Keith Lee is down and out, you think he's not going to get the win. He comes back and pulls one out, and Swerve and Our Glory do get the win. An okay match coming in just under 14 minutes. They're moving the clock along just fine. You know, with eight matches. if it was going to go how many hours, but I thought they did a really good job with it. Our next match.
I think this show was very well paced.
I did too. I really did too. And the undercard was very well paced, but we'll just say that, okay? The next match is the six-man championship for Ring of Honor. Your current champs, Dalton Castle and the boys, take on the challengers, the Embassy, managed by a Ring of Honor original, Prince Nana, and the Embassy members, Brian Cage and the Gates of Agony, Khan and Toa Lanoa, in a six-man match. And contrasting styles, right? You've got Dalton Castle and the boys, which is smoke and mirrors and high aerial attack, and then you've got the Embassy, which are based on power. But you've got Brian Cage, who wrestles like he's a luchador at 200 and whatever, how many pounds he is, 85, 90 pounds.
Yeah.
What did you like or dislike about styles? Yes. What did you like or dislike about this six-man match?
Really, honestly, what I just said, the contrast, the styles, I think meshed really well. Again, it was really, really decently paced. I don't have a particular high spot in this match that I can pull off the top of my head. That was the most memorable moment. But I'll be honest, I was also a little bit in and out of this match here. I'm not overly invested in either of these teams right now. I know they're trying to get us more invested in the Embassy, both on AEW and in ROH. So down the road, I look forward to having an investment one way or another in at least one of these teams. But honestly, right now, I just wasn't overly invested in either of these teams.
Yeah, it wasn't exactly what I'd call filler, because it was entertaining. But for a 10-minute match, it wasn't bad. And excuse me, the result, we have Ring of Honor six-man champions, the Embassy. So Prince Nana finally gets gold back to the kingdom, finally gets to bring home gold to Ghana and make everybody happy. For those long-running Ring of Honor fans, you understand where I'm coming from. Dude, I have an Embassy shirt. I dug it up the other day. I almost wore it to the show last night, but I'm like, I don't know. I love Prince Nana, so I was happy to see him there. Keeping with Ring of Honor tradition, another title match next, and that is the Ring of Honor Pure Wrestling Championship. Daniel Garcia, the reigning champion, is taking on Wheeler Yuta. We have already seen these guys fight for this belt once on pay-per-view, and that was at Supercard of Honor back at WrestleMania weekend on April 1st. They got after it here right away. I'm not going to go deep into the pure wrestling rules, but you're not supposed to have closed hand strikes to the face. They both did right away, got warned. And then if you get warned, you lose a rope break. And the rope breaks are very important. They're kind of like timeouts. And I wanted to know what you think of it. You're not really you don't watch football, but I liked how they had the graphics up for this, like a scoreboard at the bottom with how many rope breaks they had left. I just think less is more, and Ring of Honor does a great job with it graphically and with their production.
Yeah, I thought that lower third key really added to the match, so you could see where they're at rope break-wise. It was very well done. The production quality, in my opinion, of this show overall was top-notch. You know, I don't know if it's on par with WWE. I don't want to go out on a limb and say that, but it's pretty close.
Yeah, they got a long ways to go because WWE's got the money and have done it for years. But this is kind of like, hey, when NXT was going big with their takeovers, it kind of had these feels, did it not? And maybe that's a disrespect to the NXT takeovers, because there was probably more fans at those than there were at this. That's a hard ticket on, it's a weird time on a Saturday afternoon. We're going to skip the dog collar match real quick. We're going to talk about the last two matches on the card. And we'll talk more about match placement later when we talk about the dog collar match, CZ. But okay. Give me your take on the Ring of Honor television title match. Samoa Joe, the king of all television, his words, not mine, but I'm not going to tell him, against new EW signee, former IWGP United States champion, Deuce Robinson.
Excuse me. Well, I love how he's coming out in his Bullet Club gear.
Yep.
Bullet Club, is it still even legitimately a thing, or is he just giving that as a throwback? Because no,
I think it is a thing, but there's been so many spinoffs, so I don't know. I think, as far as I know, it is a thing. Jay White, the current IWGP heavyweight champion, is the quote-unquote leader of Bullet Club. So as far as I know, the Bullet Club is still a thing.
So my question there is, how long before Jay White joins the WWE and we have a triple threat between him, Finn Balor, and AJ Styles as who's the best leader?
I think you just booked a future WrestleMania match. go ahead.
I mean, that's
kind
of the storyline they're telling now over on that side of things. But that's
go ahead and send that into Triple Paul. Go ahead and send that into Triple Paul. Will you do that for me?
Absolutely.
Okay. Go ahead.
No.
What do you think about this match?
I thought it was really well done. I love, again, this is a nice contrast in styles. Juice is a little faster on his feet than Joe, but Joe can fly with the best of them. Really, the ending is what got me here. There's a point where I thought Joe did a really good job transitioning himself into an STF, followed by a crossface that I thought Juice was going to tap on, but he got to the ropes. And then, of course, Juice goes for this high-risk move, and Joe pulls the rug out from under him. He hits crotch first on the ropes, and the Muscle Buster ends it. I love the Muscle Buster. I know why WWE didn't use it very much, but that's Joe. That's my favorite move of Joe's.
And Joe's been doing it forever. He's been doing that Muscle Buster forever, and then the Cochina Clutch. He's been doing that forever too. So glad that he's always stuck with those moves.
I agree. It's nice to see that he keeps his moveset, his finishing moveset, as it is, and it's not a revolving door. Which,
let's go. You know what?
Speaking of revolving doors and finishing movesets, let's talk about Chris Jericho in the World Championship match.
Yes, let's talk about this championship match, and then we will take a break. We're almost up against it here. The network heads are going to have our hides, if you will. But main event was the Ocho, Chris Jericho, the current reigning and defending Ring of Honor World Champion, taking on the challenger Claudio Castagnoli, with the stipulation: if Claudio Castagnoli lost, he would have to join the Jericho Appreciation Society. So far, it hadn't been a good night for the Jericho Appreciation Society. I know Cool Hand Ange and Daddy Magic won in the pre-show, but Garcia lost to Yuta, and this was the other chance for the Jericho Appreciation Society to take on the Blackpool Combat Club on this card. Give me your initial thoughts after viewing this match.
So I love Jericho's ring attire. The outfit with the gold spikes, I thought really, really was fun for him.
Yeah, it was.
And of course, you know, Jericho starts off disrespecting the Code of Honor, and the announce team is very adamant about pointing that out before Jericho chases them off to who knows where. That was a fun moment. Jericho comes out and he just Ian Riccaboni, and I refresh my memory. I can never remember the other guy's name, and that's on me. I need to be better at that.
Caprice Coleman. That's okay.
Coleman.
That's what friends are for.
I need a lifeline at least once a show here. But no, I thought this was a fun match. I thought a lot of good moments here. I love how Jericho at one point counters the big swing into the walls of Jericho.
Yep.
I love how Jericho tries to hit every single one of his finishers. You know, you see the code breaker, you see the walls.
Order. Yep. This, I like this match because obviously Claudio Castagnoli could throw him around anybody he wanted to.
Right.
And he didn't really, you know, throw Jericho around. And this match was fun at times too. I like the ending. I like the ending because it caught me out of nowhere. I'm going to have you explain the ending real quick, but it caught me out of nowhere. And that's why I think that's what saved this match for me. If I guess if it,
so,
you know, maybe if it ended with the neutralizer into a pin, maybe, but I don't have a problem with this ending. In fact, I don't know if we've seen a match end like that.
That's exactly what I was thinking. You read my
mind. I didn't have a problem with it. I was surprised. I was entertained. So I'm not going to poo-poo or give a star rating on this match. But I'm going to tell you this. Like, I was entertained and thought it was fine.
Yeah. I mean, the closing moments of the match see Daddy Magic and Cool Hand Ange come down with Jericho's bat. One of them distracts the ref. The other hits Claudio.
That's Floyd to you. That baseball bat is Floyd.
My apologies to Floyd. Floyd plays a factor, knocks out Claudio, but Claudio is able to kick out, and the ref ejects the Jericho Appreciation Society.
Rightfully so.
Absolutely. This was my favorite moment of the night, as far as, you know, cool endings. My favorite match, obviously, is going to be the same as yours, but we'll get to that in a minute. I love Jericho goes to hit the Judas effect. Claudio counters it directly into the big swing. Has 33 rotations, which I believe is a record for him. And during the final rotation, Jericho is seen tapping the mat. I agree. I do not think we have ever seen anyone end the or tap out to the big swing like that. But it makes sense. You know,
I would have tapped
Jericho's
out about
getting
the
dizzy.
His hair plugs were going to fly out. I don't know. I would have tapped about five revolutions in, but the sudden ending of it and the announcer's reaction, the pause from the crowd, cause they didn't know. And Castagnoli pausing made it even more of a surprise, which I loved it. I love how it ended. I don't think they could have ended it any other way. You know, you have a way in your head you want the match to be booked or how you want it to end. But I really didn't see this coming. I was surprised. And next to the dog collar match, which we're going to talk about here right after break, I thought it was the second best match on the show.
And what do we have as a result of this match, Nick?
We have the winner of this match, by the way, at 17:15. Was and is and no! Ring of Honor World Champion Claudio Castagnoli.
We are at 3 and news for the day, just if you're keeping track at home. But yeah, let's toss to break and come back. I'm anxious to talk about that dog collar match. Dollar collar?
You and me both.
Yeah, that'll be the next match. Yeah, dollar collar.
Dollar collar? Double dollar collar, Matt. That'd be interesting. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, all right. We'll
be right back.
In addition to bringing fire on the mic, the team at 4 Frequency Sake is still bringing it online as well. Check out 4FantasySakeQC.com this season for college DFS, Survivor League, and betting advice each and every week of this football season. Again, that is ForFantasySakeQC.com for college DFS, Survivor League, and betting advice each week during the football season.
Thank you very much. We are back talking about ROH Final Battle. We did things a little taboo here today because we're not talking about the matches in order with good reason. Nick, talk us into that a little bit.
We breezed through those matches. This match here... the FTR Briscoes Part 3 for the Ring of Honor World Tag Team titles in a double dog collar match, not a double dollar collar match. I don't know. CZ, you can come up with stipulations for the double dollar collar. I like the idea, and it rolls off the tongue. But this match here was match number 6 on the card. I feel with the history that the Briscoes have with Ring of Honor is bigger than Chris Jericho being in Ring of Honor. And I thought this should have went on last simply for the obvious reason of all the blood that there was going to be in this match with these four participants and chains involved.
For
instead,
sure.
You had this match go on six, and then they changed the canvas right after this match for the final two matches. It just didn't make any sense to me, and I almost felt like whatever followed this match wasn't going to hold up to this match, and you were asking the crowd an awful lot to be engaged, I think, in that Jericho-Castagnoli match after they had just went through FTR Briscoes. I think FTR Briscoes should have went on last.
Without a doubt. You and I, we've talked about that on air. Even before the show aired, we talked about that yesterday, wanting that to be the main event, thinking it should be. But no, they went a different direction. We can Sunday night book wrestling all we want, but at the end of the day, we're just a couple of 40 somethings doing a podcast talking about the wrestling after it happens. So,
no, absolutely. And I'll tell you what, it doesn't take anything away from this match. I just think maybe the crowd would have been more involved with the last two matches instead of after this roller coaster ride they went to. I don't know how to describe this match other than badass. We go back in time. We see that this started a year and a day ago when the Briscoes jumped or encountered FTR encountered the Briscoes at Final Battle last year. That was, quote unquote, the last show before they went silent and before Tony bought the company. So it was a big deal. It left a lot to be believed. And if you look back on it now, it's like we should have seen that Tony was buying it. But FTR was doing their own thing on the indies as well as AEW. You didn't know what to think. Part one was at WrestleMania weekend, Supercard of Honor, 5-star match. Part two was at Death Before Dishonor and a 2 out of 3 falls match. FTR playing the Briscoes game and doing the 2 out of 3 falls match, which if you're a Briscoes and Ring of Honor fan from way back when, you know the 2 out of 3 falls match is their specialty. The Briscoes, that is, FTR beat them at that, and now we're set up. This match was booked late Wednesday night due to Jay Briscoe not being able to appear on TV for something he said and apologized for 9 years ago. I'm not going to talk anymore about it. Anyways, the Ass Boys, the Gun Club, deliver the message that the Briscoes were challenging FTR in a double dog collar match at Final Battle, and it did not disappoint. I've been asked by a few people, a few buddies, how would I rank the three, because I love both of these teams. And I really don't know. It's splitting hairs to me. The first match was the wrestling one. It was the wrestling match. It showcased FTR in the Briscoes' backyard, and they went in and beat them. The second one showed that FTR could defend against the big bad Briscoes. But this one goes to show that the Briscoes, you know, it comes down to it, have bled for this company for years and put their blood on the line. That's what I took away from this match.
The Briscoes and blood in ROH are synonymous. I'll throw it back. You and I talked off air a couple days ago about this, but every time I think of the Briscoes, I think of Jay Briscoe being hoisted above Jimmy Jacobs in the blood edit of, oh God, I can't remember the show. But
Joe's called Man Up. The match was ladder war between the Briscoes and
Steen and Generico, wasn't it?
Steen and Generico, yes, it was.
But they edited out. They didn't put this on the pay per view. This was the debut of Age of the Fall. For those of you who don't know, Age of the Fall consists of Jimmy Jacobs, a former WWE writer, and current huge WWE star Seth Rollins when he was known as Tyler Black. Delirious is another name that was a part of that. But I just, every time I think of the Briscoes, I think of Jay's blood.
The late Brody Lee was a part of Age of the Fall.
Yes. How could I miss? How could I forget that? I am so sorry.
Oh, man. Someone's not going to get some extra wrestling stuff in their stocking this year.
That is very true. I'm going to get some. I'm going to get a gobbledygooker figure in my stocking.
Mikey from Mass has not been a good boy.
No. But yeah, the Briscoes and Blood in ROH, those two things go together like peanut butter and jelly.
Synonymous. If you don't see Jay Briscoe or Mark Briscoe with blood on them, and what was wrong? But I'll talk about my favorite parts of the match or what I thought was really creative that I hadn't seen before. By the way, this is Ring of Honor's first ever double dog collar match. I don't know if I've ever seen a double dog collar match before, so I'm going to say it was the first one I've ever seen. It's also the best one I've ever seen.
Yeah. And I don't know that I really have favorite parts of this match. I barely took any notes on this match. I just sat back and watched the carnage and enjoyed what this match was.
I loved how it revisited parts from previous matches, and what would put away these guys previously did not work. And I love that. The finish of the final fall in the second match, when Jay gets pile driven off the top rope by Dax Harwood and then rolled over on with no strength for the win. That was perfect. In this case, they did it again. And by the point in the match, when they did this, all four guys are bleeding. Okay. You can tell these guys are pros because I think all four of these guys got busted open the hard way.
I think you're right.
And what I mean is, like, the chain did it. I don't know if Mark Briscoe's head has been uncaved in or not, but he took a shot to the head with the chain above his eye. And you know how it was. Jay Briscoe and Dax, everybody was bloody. But I love how they revisited parts. And with that, I thought the spot of the match for me was Jay's got control of Dax inside. Mark's going up to perform a move off the top rope. Cass stops it and then thwarts the attempt by grabbing the chain and hoisting Mark over his head onto the floor. And my God, it looked amazing. I stood up and like, oh man, I popped for that heart. I thought that was the spot of the match. I thought it was excellent until the ending. I love, like I said, how they revisited parts of the previous two matches. You know, the spot from the DIY match originally from the Revival when Dax and Cash hold each other's hands to prevent each other from tapping out. Dax is in that situation again in submission. He won't tap out. Cash cannot get to him due to the dead weight of Mark Briscoe being on the ground. So I love how the chain, the gimmick in the match is plays a huge part. And the match ends at referee stoppage. Dax Harwood passes out, and the Briscoes, are your record setting 13 time. And Ring of Honor World Tag Team Champs, the Briscoe Brothers, in another match of the year contender.
What a fantastic match that was. Well, I'm watching the clock, Nick, and we're running long as we sometimes do. Final thoughts on Final Battle. I thought it was a good show, head to toe. There were some matches that were kind of like, okay. The matches that I cared about really made the show for me. The main two, my two favorite matches, were the Briscoes and FTR, Claudio and Jericho. Those were fantastically done.
Yeah, the two big matches delivered. The card moved really well. It won't be remembered as the greatest show ever, but it had a match of the year contender and a big title change after a big storyline. So let's wrap this up. We're up against the clock here. We've got a deadline. You see what I did there, CZ?
I do.
We're going to talk about deadline when we come back. And SCW Pro, stay with us. We'll talk to you on the other side.
All right, we'll be right back.
In addition to bringing fire on the mic, the team at 4FrequencySake is still bringing it online as well. Check out 4FantasySakeQC.com this season for college DFS, Survivor League, and betting advice each and every week of this football season. Again, that is 4FantasySakeQC.com for college DFS, Survivor League, and betting advice each week during the football season.
Funny feel who that
third man's gonna be.
Welcome back.
Here. We always have these standards set. We're like, we're gonna talk about this for this long, this for this long, this for this long, and like a runaway train, we ain't going back. I mean, we're off the rails now. We're gonna talk about NXT deadline. This show was not scheduled until after Final Battle was announced and scheduled. And go ahead. We're going to kick it back to you, CZ, to talk about NXT deadline a little bit.
Yeah. So the great thing about NXT deadline, in my opinion, is we're kicking off a new match type. It's called the Iron Survivor Challenge. Just to give you a rundown here, on paper, the match looks like it's going to be like, okay, what are we watching? But in my opinion, watching the match off of paper paid off. So you've got a 25-minute match. Two superstars start. Every 5 minutes, another one enters. Pinfall, submission, disqualification earns you a point or a pinfall. The person who loses the fall goes into a penalty box for 90 seconds. And the person with the most falls at the end of 25 minutes becomes the Iron Survivor and new number one contender to either the NXT or the NXT Women's Championship, respectively. A lot to unpack here, Nick. What did you think of the match concept?
Excuse me. Thank you for doing the and new, because I think my throat has reached the vocal limits with doing the Howard Finkel tribute. But the match concept was intriguing. Why? Well, we've never seen it before. Anytime we haven't seen something in pro wrestling, you're intrigued. The great unknown. I will flat out tell you this. I had low expectations. When I saw the penalty box idea, I kind of rolled my eyes. Let me say it here first. This match, maybe because I went in with lower expectations, I didn't think this match would stink. I knew it was going to be unique. I wanted to see how they were going to pull it off. I love the graphics with the scoreboard at the bottom, what the clock that comes up with their penalty time. I love this match concept. And I love it for the fact, I think I like it a little bit more than what the men's and women's War Games matches did, because this show, much like the War Games, started and ended with both the women's and men's gimmick match. In this case, it was the Iron Man and Iron Woman Survivor. No, not exactly, but the women went first, then the men, is what I'm trying to say. There was a lot of redundancy in the War Gun. There was a lot of redundancy in the War Games matches, I thought. I didn't see that here. Different fun spots in both. And really, they had a blank canvas, CZ, to do whatever they wanted, because this was the first time ever. And I love this concept. Absolutely love it.
And, you know, so we start off with the women's match. Running down the competitors, you've got Roxanne Perez, Zoe Stark, Kiana James, who I haven't watched NXT at all. I'm not familiar with her, but... also have Cora Jade and Indy Hartwell in the mix. That is the order that they came into the match in. I did not write that down in the men's. I did not book it that way in the men's as far as writing down the order. We'll get to the men's match in a little bit.
I think I can tell you. So when we get the men's, I'll help you out there, tag team partner.
I appreciate that. But, you know, every five, so Roxanne Perez, Zoe Stark, they start the match out. They've got 5 minutes to themselves. Nobody gets a pinfall in that first 5 minute period. And then Kiana James is the next one in the ring. And it's Zoe Stark who gets the first point on the board, forcing Roxanne Perez, who got pinned, into the penalty box for 90 seconds. I completely agree with you. The little red clock popped up above Perez's name, showing how much time she had in the penalty box. That was really cool here. I think the penalty box does have its ups and downs. On the plus side, it gives Perez or whoever is in the penalty box time to kind of catch their breath and become a little more fresh. Maybe. We'll get to that later. But at the same time, it prevents them from that prevents them from getting a pinfall or a submission. But that is the whole point of the penalty box. You get pinned, you have 90 seconds where you can't make a move. Cora Jade comes out next. Perez comes out of the penalty box shortly after and just goes after everyone, but isn't able to get a pinfall. Cora Jade is able to get one, however, on Kiana James. She goes into the timeout. Great match. This match overall, you know.
You sound like a dad there. She goes into timeout.
Take a timeout.
She goes into timeout. Go ahead. I'm sorry to jump on you.
Highlights for me. No, I don't want to go move by move, but you know, it ends up a four-way tie at one point. Zoe Stark. I'm sorry. Kiana James hits a Spanish fly on Zoe Stark. That was a highlight of the match for me. I thought that was really well placed and hard to do when you've got three other people in the ring around you. But that is what ultimately becomes the end of the match. Everyone scrambles to take advantage of the downed woman, but it's Roxanne Perez who gets the pinfall at the very end because everyone's taking turns breaking it up. Perez becomes your and new number one contender for Mandy Rose's women's championship match. Championship, not match. They'll have a match. I love how my brain works sometimes and doesn't coordinate with my mouth. It's awesome.
Me too. And I'm just sitting here letting you just do it, man. You're entertaining. My bad. I'm sorry. I won't let you run. Fun match. And I loved how emotional Booker T was afterwards. Roxanne is one of his students from his wrestling school. Everybody knows that Booker T, or if you don't know, Booker T's got a wrestling school. And that's one of his graduates. So he was pretty excited for that.
Yeah, that was a great moment for him, a great moment for Roxy Perez. I'm anxious to see where they go with that because that's not who I would have pegged coming out as the number one contender, but I really honestly didn't have a better choice in that match. We get to the men's match, it's a little bit different. After that, you know, we see Bron Breakker and Apollo Crews both arriving in the building. We talk about the Creed brothers and their injury, not being able to compete tonight. Alba Fire and Isla Dawn have a match. And then we move on to the New Day backstage, talking about becoming a Triple Crown Tag Team Champions. Notice how I said there was a match in there, but we're not going to talk about it because it's not worth it.
Yeah, I've been trying to keep up with NXT. And I didn't think this match was booked too well to get here, so went by it too quick. And really, with this to me, outside of the Iron Survivor match, was probably the match on the. It was the match of the match of the night until the Survivor match, because I just like what happened in that match with the men. But you've got the New Day, and they're doing their thrust backstage, and everybody's pumped and fine for this. And I would be too, man. You get to see the New Day in an environment like that. And the Pretty Deadly come out in their festive sweaters.
Yes,
I love Pretty Deadly. I love Pretty Deadly. I love everything about it. I love how they get the slow-mo entrance like Miz and Morrison used to get. I think it's awesome. I love everything about them. I love this match. In fact, I think this is one of the things I'm probably going to go back and watch immediately after watching the show because it really was a fun match.
Oh, I agree. I'm probably going to go back and watch this. But, you know, just to give you my favorite highlight, you had the homage to Eddie Guerrero towards the end of the match, which was just hilarious. Pretty Deadly comes in with one of the title belts. It gets hot potatoed between New Day and Pretty Deadly, and everybody falling onto the mat. It ends with Kofi holding the title, looking around at everybody who's laying down pretending they're injured. He drops the belt and plops down himself. So you've got all four guys pulling an Eddie Guerrero like they all got hit by the belt, and the ref just doesn't know what the hell to do with this. That was my moment of the whole show.
That was a fun moment. That was a very good moment. The crowd loved it. You know, in New Day's laying there motionless, and then you've got Pretty Deadly rolling around like fresh roadkill, you know? So I loved it. I loved everything about this. The New Day, surprisingly, take the belts off Pretty Deadly, which is kind of a sign, if you will. We had heard maybe that New Day would be getting put on NXT for a while. I think maybe they'd put them down there because they don't have anything left for them on the main roster, possibly till Big E comes back. I don't know.
Yeah, but that's very true.
That another reason to watch on Tuesday nights that New Day is. Oh, excuse me. What are New Day?
And new tag team champions, NXT tag team champions. Not only that, but I believe they are the very first Triple Crown. No, maybe not the first, but they're definitely Triple Crown champions, having won titles on Raw, titles on SmackDown, and now titles on NXT. So just solidifying their legacy, much like the Usos did back at Survivor Series. Or no, not Survivor Series. I'm sorry, Crown Jewel.
Yeah.
By becoming the longest reigning, the New Day have solidified themselves now even more so than they had by having a title on every show. Not many people can say that.
Rightfully so. Not too many people can say that. That a lot of that goes with longevity, and a lot of that goes with what the fans want to see. And credit to this, I hope they do something well with the New Day. Whatever that is, we don't know. We will remain to be seen. But with that being said, I love the chemistry between these guys. I could watch a best of seven between these guys. Chemistry they had. You know, I mean this in the best way possible. Like, New Day is kind of like the goofy fun team. And Pretty Deadly is kind of the goofy, you know, the goofy, over-the-top, cheesy team. And I love their dynamic and how they work together here. Probably be a return match, I'm guessing, on an NXT episode coming up. But probably. the first thing I thought of is, you know, these teams switching places are Pretty Deadly going up to the main roster. It's something to keep an eye on. You know, these guys were big Vince guys. He believed in them in NXT. Sean, the whole time they were getting pushed on NXT, they were the only NXT UK team to get a win at the pay-per-view, and they unified all the titles. But I love the match. I thought it was a lot of fun, and I look forward to seeing more of these teams work together before Pretty Deadly move up to the main roster.
I agree completely. This was a fun match, and just it was well-placed. I think it needed to be where it was. I enjoyed it a lot.
I did as well. It was fun. And the crowd was into it. Crowd was into it, doing the chants the whole time. And with it being a smaller venue, it all worked out the same. After that, it was good. We get the celebration afterwards. And now we are going to head into what we would call the men's Iron Survivor match. The Wizard, CZ, explained the rules earlier on in the podcast for the women's. If you want to know the rules, go back and rewind that podcast. And you can find that podcast wherever you find your podcast. Like, follow, subscribe, leave a rating, a review, leave a question if you got for the show. And you can find us on social media, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, at Card Subject to Change Podcast. Reach out to us. We're active on there. We love to hear from you guys and what you're thinking. The five participants for the men's Iron Survivor match, if I can think off the top of my head here, we have Axiom, J.D. McDonough. He is the former Jordan Devlin. J.D. McDonough with the name change. He's kind of the rising heel star on NXT right now. Another rising heel star, Grayson Waller, is on this match. Joe Gacy. was featured in this match as well. And the fifth and final participant was the NXT, former NXT North American champion, Carmelo Hayes. So some up and young and up and talent in this match. Match started out with Axiom and McDonough. These two have had a very special back and forth these last few weeks, Axiom and McDonough. That's who started out the men's match when you were asking earlier in the women's match. It was Axiom and McDonough that started off the match, I believe.
Yes, I have that in my notes now that I'm looking here. That was the one that I had, who started. So you went through the competitors. Let me ask you, who's your favorite going into this match?
My favorite going into this match is Carmelo Hayes. I thought Carmelo Hayes was the man to take this. That's who I thought was going to win. That's who I would have put money down on. Who did you think was going to?
You know, I felt about the same way, but I had Carmelo tied with JD McDonagh. Both of them are, both of them have had titles in the past, respectively. JD had the Cruiserweight. Carmelo had the NXT North American Championship. But I told you a couple days ago that my sleeper was Grayson Waller.
Yeah, you did. You absolutely did. And it should come to form. Grayson Waller pulls this out. How they got there is terrific. You know, I wrote down a note during when you were talking about the women's match, and I wanted to talk about it during the men's match. I just love how in the Royal Rumble, you want to be, of course, a later number. But I think in this match, don't you want to be out there earlier? You have more time to get pinfalls. Because I remember Joe Gacy, when he came in this match, everybody had at least one. Most of the guys had two, and he had zero. You know,
except
so
for JD McDonagh. JD McDonagh did not get a decision in this match at all.
He did not get a decision in this match at all. But he and Axiom furthered their feud in this, which I totally liked. I thought Joe Gacy really shined in this match in the short amount of time he was there. He's working on his body, you can tell. He's not wearing the shirt and pants anymore. They got him in the big boy trunks. That's what I'd wear too, Joe Gacy, so don't worry about it. But he looked real well in it. The Grayson Waller winning, I really liked. The thing you need to note on Grayson Waller, something's going to happen with him and Booker T down the road between here and WrestleMania. Maybe they have a match. Maybe they don't. But Grayson Waller called Booker T a bitch.
Yeah, he definitely did. And that was
give me things you don't say to Booker T for 300, Alex. I mean,
what is you're a bitch?
Yeah, do not say that to tell me. And then he said it under his breath. And that's what I really loved about this match, that there was subtleties all throughout. But Booker T goes, tell me. He did not just say that. And he said it no louder than that. So
I love Booker T so much. I always have.
If we can get another run out of Booker T and working with Grayson Allen, oh, everybody wants to see Grayson Allen get his ass kicked, especially now after winning this match. So yeah. Him and Booker T would be fun. I'm all for it. Maybe at an NXT takeover on WrestleMania weekend, maybe sooner. I don't know, but if Booker T and Grayson Waller is an option in the future, give it to me.
And the way this match ended, the final moments of this match, I love the quad super kick on McDonagh. That was a fun moment. Everybody, you've got McDonagh in the ring. He's looking around at everybody. And then all of a sudden, that's how to have a super kick party, in my opinion. But Carmelo comes off the ropes, hits his leg drop or famouser off the ropes, and Grayson Waller comes in and steals it from him. Just sneaky, throws Carmelo out, and he gets the final pin to be the and new number one contender for Braun Breaker's title, or will it be Braun Breaker's title? We're going to talk about that next.
The number one contender. That's right. Hey, props to you for that and new. You must be a medium because you're channeling the other side. You blended Finkel with Paul Bearer there. When you go back and listen to the podcast, you hit a new level there. I don't know who you're talking to or who you're channeling, but Paul Bearer definitely came through there. I love it.
Oh, my Undertaker.
Oh, man. Okay. Enough of that. At least for me. You do it better than I do.
Well, I did play Paul Bearer one Halloween. I will admit to that. There are pictures out there, but I'm not going to bring them up. You're not going to see them from me on my side.
I remember that. I won't post them either. I won't.
So the final match of the night here, we had that great iron. What is it? The Iron Survivor Challenge on the men's side. Fantastically put together. Lot of high spots, a lot of action. We go on to Apollo Crews taking on Bron Breakker for the NXT Championship. I'm on the fence on this match, Nick, because on one hand it wasn't a bad match at all, but on the other hand, Bron Breakker and Apollo Crews, their styles are very similar, so it felt like it went kind of slow to me.
Yeah, I can see that. They spent a lot of time promoting this with vignettes on the show, and they took an interesting angle with the vignette. They had the champion and challenger hanging out together, getting to know one another in a civil manner. Like one day they went fishing, another day they went out and had breakfast or something together. I kind of like this approach. At first I'm kind of like, what the hell is this? But I'm like, it's pro wrestling. Yeah. And it was different. It was new. I hadn't seen it before. So yeah. You're right. You don't know if Apollo Crews is coming down as a, you know, they have nothing for him up top. So feud with these guys down here, get some experience with those guys. I don't know. But the vignettes, I went from really not caring to, yeah, I guess I care about this match just because the vignettes were different. Something we hadn't seen it.
It was very unique approach to putting the match together. There was one moment during the match where Crews has Bron Breakker on the mat. He takes a moment. You see his face kind of shaking like he's frustrated. His eyes close. He takes two or three deep breaths, and then he opens his eyes. And the commentators are very much, well, something has changed in Apollo Crews. This isn't the same guy who started the match. And you can kind of see in his eyes, he's got a little bit of a different look. I don't know how I felt about that. It was really strange. But yeah, I the best part of this match.
Listen, it wasn't the worst part of the show. There was a referee in the women's match earlier who was like, convulsing and spitting a black mist, okay? So
black stuff was coming out of his mouth and nose. We skipped over that.
I don't know
what
the hell that was. That's why we didn't talk about it. You want to go back and go ahead. I'm not going to.
No. Best part of this whole match didn't happen during the match for me. It happened at the end. Because Bron is celebrating. He's facing the hard cam. And then he turns around, and there's Grayson Waller doing his rolling stunner from outside the ring. Waller grabs the championship, holds it up high, and I just wonder if this is a glimpse of the future. Is Grayson Waller the one to take the belt off of Bron Breakker?
That's a great question, and I guess what we need to know, and if somebody out there knows and wants to mention us, or answer it live for us or get back to us at a later time. When is the next big NXT event? Would they have one Rumble weekend?
No, it's I think it's the St. Valentine's Day one.
Okay. Okay.
They do have an NXT show coming up, I believe, January 10th called New Year's Evil.
Okay.
Don't get me started.
I was just kind of looking. No. I was just kind of looking forward to like what they're going to build to, like what show are they building to with these guys? But
yeah,
I like the dynamic. You've got, I mean, man, everybody's going to be behind Breaker, Waller's the cowardly heel. I mean, are they grooming Grayson?
It's definitely going to be a fun dynamic between the two of them.
It's going to be a fun dynamic. And here's the question. He's kind of getting the ball here. I think they're giving him and seeing if he's going to run with it. Is this WWE's counter to MJF? Is it Grayson Waller? Is it grooming him the next couple years on NXT in case they don't win the bidding war of 2024? Something to think about. Something to think about is, are they really, I mean, they may be grooming Grayson Allen to be that next a-hole heel. He's got the accent working for him. He can work. And I'm going to tell you this, it's going to be fun to watch. I can't watch. I can't wait to see. And obviously they have big things if he's jumping the champ and standing over him with the belt at the end of the show. So
absolutely.
Something to watch for 2023 is how much time and effort they're going to put into Grayson Waller and the return they're going to get back out of him.
Yeah. I am. I'm anxious to see where they go with that. It should be a fun build. And honestly, I think as that cowardly heel, Grayson Waller can find a way to take the belt off of Braun.
Absolutely, but every cowardly heel needs to get help. Who is going to help him out? I can't wait. I like this at first, the way Waller won, and then he's running around, avoiding everybody at the end. I'm like, this is perfect for him. And then jumping Braun after the show says a lot. They believe in him. Obviously, Shawn Michaels and Triple Paul see something in him, and I can't wait to see where it goes.
Yeah. I'm right there with you. This is going to be an interesting, you know, we've said it before. I'm going to say it again. It is a fantastic time to be a wrestling fan. That being said, Nick, I'm going to transition things over to our main event. We've talked about the two big shows. We've talked about Final Battle. We've talked about Deadline, but always a good time when you and I can get out to our podcast friends and brethren. Over at SCW Pro, Nick and I were both at the show Saturday, this past Saturday here. It was a fun time. I had my nephew with me. Nick was with a buddy of his. Let's talk about SCW. You know, we don't usually, unless we have somebody on the podcast from there, we don't usually talk about them other than in passing. But no, I think this is an event we should
anytime you got wrestling in your backyard and SCW, Walcott at the Coliseum, it's the MSG of SCW Pro. What a show, a fun crowd, and it's all ages. It really is. I spent a lot of the night watching three little boys that were brothers, I believe, sitting in the front row.
Yeah.
And just watching the show from their perspective. And they were having the time of their life. And I'm around, you know, mid-30s to early 40-year-old guys, and we're having the time of our life laughing and watching. And, you know, the more you give the wrestlers, the more they're going to give you, right? Want you to participate in the show, and being able to do that. And for some people, it's for release, and for some people, it's a hobby, and getting out to a live show is great. I'm proud to say now I have introduced and talked to everybody that has appeared on the Card Subject to Change podcast. It was great finally to meet Manders. Had never met him before. And, dude, man, he's a hoot. We're going to get him back on here, I think, sometime this year. We talked to him last night. He's definitely going to come back on. Spent some time also with Rip Studwell and Primetime Thomas, James Thomas, after the show. It's a great thing to get out and see. I had fun. I mean, JT Energy was there performing. Was it the 12 Weapons of Christmas street fight? I mean,
yes, that was my nephew's favorite match of the show.
That was an excellent match. Great story was told between partners in Rhyme and Boucher and Champion. It was a fun match. the crowd, you know, helping participate and cheer or boo, the weapons coming in. It was fun. And Tom, if you get a chance, go out there. We're going to try to have more guys within the company, gals, on the show here in the new year.
We've got we've got some things in the works. I'm not ready to announce who quite yet.
We do. But, we have something in the works. We're not going to say who, but we will have guests coming up here on the show soon. What was your favorite part of last night?
Oh, man, I am...
or the SCW show.
That is a very tough call. I'm a big fan of JT Energy. I have been for years. I've known him. He wasn't quite in the business when I was ring announcing, but we had a mutual friend back when he started a handful of years ago that I used to work with this young lady. JT used to work with this young lady in different venues, but I went out to the show a while ago to support. Excuse me. Sorry.
You going to make
that
it there?
That was ill-timed.
Are you going to make
no,
it?
No, I'm dying over here. Man. I'm dying over here. We've had such a long weekend of wrestling. I hope I'm not coming down with wrestleitis.
You might be. You might be coming down with wrestleitis. I know when I'm done, when we're done here with the Card Subject to Change podcast, thank you so much for tuning in wherever you are. If you are, if you got wrestleitis, you know, I will probably after this. I usually take a day or two off. Day or two off keeps you clean, keeps you fresh, good, clean living. Then you can get back deep into the wrestling just in time when it's time for another episode of Card Subject to Change.
But no, I've always been a big fan of JT Energy. I thought his match with Manders, those two knocked it out of the park against Connor Braxton. And I know these are your boys, Rip Studwell and Primetime James Thomas.
I love those guys.
But I don't know if I can pinpoint something specific other than that match itself. The 12 days or the 12 weapons of Christmas was fantastic. Always good to see. I've been a longtime acquaintance of Shane Hollister, so it's always good to see him on the show. And like you said, everybody that we've talked to on the show, everybody who's in our archives, Crotch, Merrick Brave, JT Energy, the Devil Dog Dustin Mosley, Manders, they are all in our archives. If you want to hear their interviews, we've got some great stuff there. It was good. I finally got to meet a couple people that I hadn't had the opportunity to last night. And like we said, we've got big things in the works coming up next year.
Oh, for sure. If you ever get a chance, get out to a show. So much fun. There's something for everybody on those shows. You'll have fun. It's cheaper than going to a movie. And, gosh, you're in and out of there in 2 hours. That's what I wanted to say. We may not have had a mega show yesterday, but we had three pay-per-views, and two of them, one clocked in under 3 hours, one just under 2.5, and this show last night, Season's Beatings over at the Walcott Coliseum, right around 2 hours. It's good family fun. I had a blast. Looking forward to 2023 and what SCW Pro is going to be bringing to the fans in and around the area. But it was fun. Props to Manders and the Shug, Shane Hollister, for double booking yesterday. They wrestled up in LaSalle, Illinois, at a 3 o'clock show before getting to the SCW Pro. So props to those guys for being on the card and for putting on a good thing for the fans. I can't remember my favorite moment. It was just an entertaining, fast moving card, and I can't put it over enough. I had a blast, and that's what I was looking forward to this weekend. The long day of Saturday, December 10th of wrestling, and it did not disappoint. I was it was like Christmas for me yesterday, and loved every minute of it.
And I just want to say, if you are going to go to an SCW Pro show next month, the Prestige Rumble on January 7th. I left with a little bit of a tear in my eye last night because they are ending a 10-year-long tradition with the Walcott Coliseum. That is where I spent a lot of my time ring announcing. That is where I have gone to shows either by myself or with my nephew. And the January event, the Prestige Rumble, is the last time they will be performing in the Walcott Coliseum as they are moving their main venue to Bluegrass.
Yeah, it is the Rumble's at Bluegrass, from my understanding.
No, and I then, think the Rumble is in Walcott. That's the final event there. I'll double check with
I thought the Rumble was my understanding was going to be a Bluegrass, and then they were going to come back for one final event at Walcott.
Well, I'll tell you what. Let me go to their page. I can tell you in just a second.
Yes, clear it up. We got
SCW Pro. Well, I guess I got to click on their page to open it.
Just while CZ tracks that down, just want to say, hey, if you couldn't make the show, I try to take some pics with my phone. It's not the best, but I try to get some pics of what some of the action was from the show. So we post those on the IG, the Facebook. I don't think we posted any on Twitter. We might have to do that later here tonight. But I know we did post Manders as the Secret Santa. He was everyone's favorite Secret Santa in Walcott. That's
true. Yes, 100%. And looking at the advertisement that they posted yesterday, the Prestige Rumble is Saturday, January 7th. It is their final event at the Walcott Coliseum.
I stand corrected. So, yeah, it is going to be a show not to be missed. I guarantee you it'll be a sellout, standing room only. You do not want to miss the Prestige Rumble. Big things to happen. We can tell you who the 20th entrant of that Prestige Rumble will be, and that'll be none other than friend of the show, former guest, Matt Crotch Mayday. He won the 8-man Battle Royal last night to secure that number 20 spot.
He did indeed. And it was a fun match. That was another fun match. The way he won it was very cool. The Eric Enzeit thought he had won the match because Crotch was nowhere to be seen. He had gotten injured early on and walked to the back by a ref. Crotch came out of nowhere and dumped him out of the ring for the win.
Yeah, it was a good way to kick off the show. Other big matches, we had Devil Dog defend his Iowa championship against the Shug, Shane Hollister. That match ended in controversy, DQ, with Devil Dog keeping his belt, only to have an announcement from Merrick Brave that at the Prestige Rumble, those two will have the last ever Walcott Street Fight match.
Yes, that will be a fun match. I'm really hoping I'm in town for it. As we've talked about, my schedule, I'm all over the place. But fingers crossed that I'll be able to make that show.
And then with JT Energy getting the pin last night in the main event 3-on-2, he's now the number one contender. And will he get his match at Prestige?
Yes. Rumble? Yes.
Excellent. Dude, it's going to be a loaded... If you had any doubts or hadn't been before, you do not want to miss this show. We'll talk about it as it proceeds, but it's going to be fun. I can't wait for – I have been to a couple of these, but they haven't been recently. I can't wait to see this one, and you'll definitely see us there. And if you see us at the show, come over and say hi. We definitely want to talk wrestling with you guys for sure.
Absolutely. I completely agree. Don't be strangers. We're not going to bite you or anything. Well, Nick might. Yeah,
Chris might. CZ gets the munchies. So do I.
That is very true. Me more than anybody, more than Nick for sure. My friend, I think we've talked for a while now. We covered everything we wanted to.
I think we can put a bow on what I'm dubbing Wrestling Christmas yesterday. That was quite the deal. And now I've got the post Wrestling Christmas blues, and I'm going to go take a long winter's nap.
You and me both, pal. Thank you so much if you tuned in live. We appreciate you listening. If you're listening after the fact on anywhere podcasts or Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you listen to your favorite shows, we appreciate you tuning in there too. For my tag team partner, the Honorable One, Nick Bull, I am the Wizard CZ. You can find us on social media at NickBull55, at the Wizard CZ. I am Chris Zach on Facebook. He is Nick Bull on Facebook. You can find us at CSTC Podcast, both on Facebook and Instagram, and on YouTube. We're there as well. Find us on Facebook under Card Subject Change Podcast. Next week, we're going to be talking all about Starrcade. We're going back to 1997. So tune in for that. It'll be a fun show, fun to review. But in the meantime, again, we appreciate you tuning in. Look for some big announcements coming in the next couple of weeks. We're excited. It's going to be a fun time. 2023 is shaping up to be really good. So keep on listening. Like, share, subscribe. We really do appreciate you tuning in.